If you'll turn with me to the minor prophet Micah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. I got to tell you a funny story. I was sitting on the platform in Kingsburg with the Reverend Schultheis and Sister Grace Schultheis. His wife was speaking, and she was speaking on one of the minor prophets. I don't remember which one. It might have been Obadiah. And then she turned to me and she said, "And Brother Keith, why don't you read the couple of verses there?" I had the hardest time finding that book. You know how I kept fanning it. I didn't have the cheat tabs on it and anything. I just could not find Obadiah. I'm sitting on the platform, you know, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I started pretending like I was having trouble with my eyes. Anything to stall. Some of you ought to try that because you're having trouble tonight finding Obadiah. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and then Micah, okay? Sometimes they are hard to find. Although today, you know, we have the iPads and the phones so you can find it. Just a bit of background. You know, after Solomon had failed the Lord and the kingdom, now just think about this. I know we kind of know this, but the kingdom was split. This was God's children, and it amazes me that God said, okay, the kingdom's going to be split now. And of course, there came Jeroboam and Rehoboam, right? And so Jeroboam gets the 12 tribes of the northern kingdom, known as Israel, or sometimes by the prophets, Ephraim. And then Judah has the two tribes. That's where we're kind of set. Micah is sent to the northern tribe. How much God loved that northern tribe, and that was the northern kingdom. They were so off base, but God sent these prophets to try to get Israel back on track. Of course, Judah wasn't much better. But when we come to Micah lets them know, he's prophesying that trouble's coming. You know, God's going to send the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and there's those threats there. But there's some wonderful things you'll find in this minor prophet. Here's one of them, this part of Micah 17:18. I might be reading from a different version, so maybe you want to just listen. Listen to what the Holy Spirit said through Micah to this mixed up, convoluted, wayward, wandering Israel. He said, "Who is a God like you?" That just grabs me right there. Micah says, "Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance?" This amazed Micah. What kind of God are you that you can forgive sins? And this is Old Testament, right? Yeah. Oh, what chapter? I'm sorry, I apologize. 7. Did I say 17? Well, I am sorry. I stand aghast at myself. 7. Thank you. Thank you. Verse 18. "This meeting is ruined." Let's all go out and come back in. "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance?" It goes on, it gets better. He says, "You do not stay angry forever." Micah knew God. He knew his heart. Even though when you read the earlier chapters, there's this threat that God's bringing judgment. Micah says, "No, God, I know your heart. You don't stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You'll tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Isn't that amazing? Again, we're talking about an Old Testament prophet here. Sometimes, you know, we do hear this where it's like, well, the God is the God of the New Testament, the same God as the Old Testament. Absolutely, right? He is. I want to look at another portion of this chapter, and I will try to get of this book and try to get the right chapter to you. But first I want to relate something, an incident that happened a few years back. I was at the mall. How many of you love the mall? Love to go to the mall? Some people love to go to the mall. You know, dude, some of the young people, you love the mall? Sort of. I don't like the mall. I don't go to the mall. I used to go to the mall. But I don't like going to the mall anymore. You know, if you go on the weekend, yeah, amen, brother. Yeah, I know, we doubt your salvation if you go on the weekend. No. But the mall is something. And one time I was at the mall, and I was standing, and I was overhearing a conversation. It was between a mother and her daughter. And it was getting kind of tense. Have you ever been there where you overheard a tense conversation, a tense discussion or argument? And you know that maybe you should walk away, but you don't, because it's they're going at it. And I heard this mother and this daughter going at it right there in the middle of the mall, and it was getting unpleasant. And I heard the mother say, and I wrote down what I could remember. The mother said, "What have I ever done to you?" It was so dramatic. She said, "What have I ever done to you that you think you can talk to me like that?" And then she said, "Answer me," because the daughter wasn't saying anything. "Answer me." And here's a little bit of what she said, not verbatim, but I wrote down the gist of what I recall. The mother was saying, "I broke my back working two jobs to get you the designer clothes you want, that said you said you needed or you would die. I stayed up hours at night and I cried with you when the guy you thought you were in love with broke your heart and you felt alone and abandoned. I was there when all your friends you thought would be around forever turned their backs and stopped calling. All I ever did was try to be there and teach you how to be a woman, a girl." And then the daughter said this, "What do you want from me? What do you want from me? What do you want me to clean my room more? What do you want me to take out the trash, do more around the house? What is it you want from me?" The daughter kept saying to her mother. But here's the clincher. The mother said, with tears, "I really was feeling like I was intruding on a very personal part of someone's life." But the mother with tears said, "I want you to remember I'm your mother and that you're my daughter and I love you." Folks, if you keep your ears open, there's a lot of drama going on out there. There's a lot of drama. What a thing for a mother to say in the middle of a mall, right? "I want you to remember I'm your mother and that you're my daughter, and I love you." Yeah, something. I thought of that because when I read Micah, I couldn't believe, as I was reading through Micah and I came to chapter 6, that this, having read through 1 through 5 of the threatenings and God saying that the judgment is coming because of their waywardness, their wandering, because of the way they treated each other. You know, these were God's people, and they were acting worse sometimes than the world. And God was saying, "Now I'm going to bring Assyrian, Babylonians, and so much was going to happen. I'm going to judge you. I'm going to judge them." You read all through that. You come to Micah 6, And you can't believe it that God speaks the way he speaks. He says this in verse 3 of chapter 6. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? What have I done to make you tired of me? Isn't that incredible that God asked that? Well, you know, no wonder Micah, when we get to the latter chapter 7, says, what kind of God are you? He's not a far-off deity, folks. He's not some distant God of the universe. Like, you know, that's today. How does the universe make you feel? You ever hear this stuff, right? No. That's not God. Mm-hmm. What kind of God are you that you forgive sins? That you're slow to anger and you show such mercy? What kind of God is it that says, oh, my people, what have I done to you that you're tired of me? Have you ever been tired of God? Have you ever felt that way? Like, I'm tired of being on the narrow way? You know, there have been some Christians who surprised me. They're tired of God. And God, it says there, oh, my people, what have I done to you? What have I done to make you tired of me? Israel was tired of God. He says, answer me. And then God begins to rehearse some things, just like that mother to her daughter. For I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from slavery. You know, I got convicted when I read that. Because sometimes you can get tired of the old story of how God saved you. How he died on the cross from you. How he rescued you. You know, we do. I know we would never blatantly say I'm tired of God. But you know, we will sometimes just say, I don't feel like worshiping tonight. Right? But we're talking about someone who gave his life for us. We're talking about a God that had such love and mercy that he redeemed us for eternity. How can we get tired of that? But Israel did, didn't they? He said to them, I sent Moses and Aaron and Miriam to help you. Don't you remember my people? Verse 5. And then he says, don't you remember how King Balak of Moab tried to have you cursed? Isn't that a great story? Don't you love that? He went from mountain to mountain and wanted to curse Israel, but he couldn't. Balaam couldn't. It says, and how Balaam, the son of Beor, blessed you instead. How many times I wonder that the enemy wanted to curse us, you know? Wanted to get someone to curse us. And God said, it turned into a blessing. And remember your journey from Acacia to Grove to Gilgal, when I, the Lord, did everything I could to teach you about my faithfulness. That wilderness journey where God was just trying to show them, I'm gonna be there. They felt abandoned. They felt forsaken. God was saying, no, I was just trying to teach you that I could supply everything for you. Oh, it's always a shame when we misunderstand God's grace and kindness. Kind of like when we were adolescents. And you know, your parents were your worst enemies, right? And really, later on in life, you find out, why, my goodness, they were just being faithful in their love and their care. Well, let's take a look at Micah 6 through 7. Here's Israel's response to them. Look what Israel says. What can we bring to the Lord? What kind of offering should we give him? Should we bow before God with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? Does it sound a little bit like sarcasm to you? You know, is this what you want? Is this what we should do for God? Maybe this is what we should do. I think sometimes we do that, you know? You know, all right, God, let me get busy for you. Let me do things for you. But look at what God says in Micah 6:6. in verse 8, rather. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. Okay, I mean, when I read this, I said, okay, I'm listening. Because he just said, yeah, I don't want you to don't worry. I'm not asking you to do a whole bunch of things for me. I'm not asking you to, you know, become an evangelist or a missionary, or I'm not asking you, you know, to just do all of the things that you can do for me. He says, no, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What a heart. Do you feel it? What a heart. I just want you to walk with me. I want you to do the right thing. You know, some commentators feel that he's really bouncing off of what Moses said in Deuteronomy 10:12. Listen to this. Moses speaks to Israel and he says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul." Do you hear it? That's what God wants. He wants us to love him. It's not what we can do for God, but he wants us to love him. I immediately thought of an incident that happens in the gospel in Mark 12. Jesus is having quite a conversation with the Pharisees, an argument with them. And in Mark 12:28, one of the teachers of religious law who was standing there listening to the debate, he realized that Jesus had answered well. And he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" he asked Jesus. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this." You know this, don't you, right? "Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and the only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength." I find that pretty amazing. We move from 400 years earlier or more, where Micah is telling the Israelites, what God wants is your love. That's what God wants. He doesn't want all your offerings. He wants your heart. And then to this instant, this incident here where Jesus, he says, this is what God wants. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment that is greater than these. And then this happens. The teacher of religious law replied, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law." He got it, didn't he? Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Wow. You know, at home, we sing, and maybe you can join me if you know it. "Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me." You know that chorus, one day God dropped that in my heart while I was doing some work on my mom's house. And Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. What a wonderful thing to sing, right? There was a time when my mom was failing, and she was on hospice, and my job was to go Wednesdays and spend some time with her, and I would do that, you know, when before she had really gotten weak. I used to bring her Wendy's. She loved Wendy's, and I did too. Easy job. And but now she had fallen, and now she was bedridden, and we knew that she was close to going to heaven. And I came in to visit to see her and really give my sister a break. And she said to me, "Keith, I love you." And I said, "I know you do, Mom. You were always there for us kids. My mother, my mother would fight for her kids. I mean, physically too. She was a fighter. If you said something about one of her children, you were in trouble." And I said, "Mom, you're always there." One time, I was reminding her. I remember, Mom, when I came home and I said, "We need a little costume for when I was in one of the grammar school grades. I needed a costume, some kind of costume for the book we're reading." My mother got this. She got this material. I went as a little chickadee. The teacher was like, "No, this was a little overdone," and so did everybody else who laughed at me. But that was my mom, and I said, "Mom, you always did everything for us." And she said, "No, Keith, what I'm trying to tell you is I love you because you're my son." That's the heart of the message from Micah to Mark, is that God wants our love. He wants us to love him. I thought tonight that we could spend some time just sitting in his presence and just letting God love us. Maybe not even worshiping, like we began that way, but just spending some time with him. You know, you have one of these things on your iPad or on your phone. At least I do. It tells you how many hours you've been on that thing. Don't you hate that? Well, our God wants to spend some time with us. You know, when I was seeing my wife, Diane, it was easy. You know, when you're in love, it's easy. We didn't even have, you know, I like to tell how when you're first seeing each other, you say the stupidest stuff, you know, small talk. She's telling me things. I didn't want to tell her. I didn't give a hoot about that. She's telling me things, you know, you just get an interest in things that you never had an interest in. And when you fall in love with God, to sit in his presence, to wait on the Lord, it's not hard. It's not hard. Because God wants to spend time with us. From Micah, where Micah said, this is what God wants, not everything you can do for him. And thank God for those and us who answer his call. But he wants to love us. That's all. Pretty precious, right?
Yes.
Pretty precious. And I thought tonight we, you know, 15 minutes, 5 minutes, as long as as long as you feel, just give God some time and say, "Lord, I'm here for you. I'm thinking of you. My focus is on you." There's a wonderful hymn, "I am his and he is mine." Let's sing that. And if you want to kneel or sit, stand, whatever it is, it's 289 in our hymnal. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we stand one more time?
Told me it is so.
things we think we need from God. And I have a list for God almost every day, what I need. And he's been so faithful to me and my wife. So faithful. And I feel like a spoiled child. Diane and I, we come to God, and he's given us everything we need. You know, we were called to live the faith life before we had children. I always forget the date. I'll make up what date. 1990-something. You know, Sister Grace Schultz, she challenged us to go live the faith life. Both our jobs had left us. She said, live the faith life, just like that. So we launched out. I guess it's all over 33 years. And God has always supplied every need for us. You know, 4 children later, supplied every need. I asked my youngest daughter recently, Amy. I said, Amy, did you ever feel like you lacked anything? And she said, Dad, we didn't lack anything. All of the great, he's given me everything he's need, that I've needed. But he wants my heart. And he wants us to love him. And tonight we're going to do that. You know, don't ask him for anything. Just let him love you. Because that's what you need. That's the greatest thing you need. You need the love of Christ. And that last verse, his forever, only his. Who the Lord and me shall part? That's how it should be. Come on, let's sing this. And like I said, you want to kneel, sit, and stay as long as you feel. Don't feel, anybody should never feel like I better do 15 minutes. You don't have, if it's 5 minutes, if it's 2 hours, I'll see you in the morning. However the Lord wants you to stay. Come on, let's sing the fourth.